joined now, as we are every Wednesday, by City Administrator Ben Martig and Northfield Mayor Erica Zweifel. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good morning.
How was, Madam Mayor, how was your trip to the South Pacific?
Oh, it was really nice. I got to travel with the Carleton men's tennis team to Hawaii, where they played the University of Hilo, had a great match, and got to play outside. That's the big goal for the spring break trips. And they only do these big, fancy trips once in a while.
Yep.
So this was one of the ones we were supposed to go pre-COVID on this trip. And so this is our makeup big trip for the team. So, yeah.
There you go.
That's a heck of a good big trip.
It is a heck of a good big trip.
All right. So, well, welcome home.
Thank you.
And Ben, it's always good to see you, sir.
Thank you. I've been here with all the locals enjoying winter and spring.
Indeed.
Rotating between the days.
Depending on the day. Exactly right. Right. Well, there was a rather busy city council meeting last night. And Logan gave us a good rundown on some of the highlights. But where would you guys like to start on what happened last night?
Well, that's a great question. Okay. We would like to start with Earth Day.
Oh,
so
okay.
We had a really, it's April is, I like to call it Earth Month. Maybe other people do as well. I'm sure I'm not the only person to say that, but I am focusing a lot on climate and earth-friendly type of things during the month of April. And so April 26th is Earth Day at the Armory. There are workshops in the morning, and then afternoon there's a panel from 3 to 4. I'll be there at 3 introducing the panel. I'll probably be there other times as well, hanging out and enjoying Earth Day. And the focus this year is on flooding, so flooding and resiliency in Northfield, and thinking about the climate threats that we as a community experience. Mm-hmm. So, in addition to flooding, the things that we experience due to climate change are extreme weather events, more extreme heat days. And in the future, I was listening to a podcast, Minnesota Climate Cast, I think it's called, that our next one will be icing. As the weather changes and we get less snow, we'll get more of the ice factor that happens to the south of us. And so I'm thinking in terms of that as we're going into strategic planning about if we are going to experience more icing in the future, do we look at burying power lines? I like to think into the future, especially with climate, because it comes at us slowly and will keep coming at us.
Yeah, I think you can tell by the look on my face how displeased I am with the concept of more icing.
I'm sorry, I felt I wanted to stop in the middle of my sentence. I'm sorry.
I'm not shooting the messenger. I promise. So the Earth Day celebration is the 26th. The actual Earth Day is the 20th. Correct? No, 21st.
22nd. We're just proclaiming, all of
Earth
April
month.
As Earth there
we
Month.
Go. Earth Month. All right. We're going to have Mary Jo Cristofaro on in a couple of weeks to talk about the whole celebration. If any of you could, or maybe you, Ryan, because you're Lieutenant Weather, could do something to make the last like three, I want to say, Earth Days or celebrations have been pretty soggy. Mm. So if we could get some sunshine for that one day, that'd be great.
Rich also likes to think that I control the weather.
Yeah, you control the weather and your space lasers.
Yeah. I'm basically just an X-Men. We'll just
Okay. So after the public hearings yesterday, after the presentations, you had a public hearing on Central Park, which is an interesting concept. People are looking to designate Central Park as an historic preservation site.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had a tremendous presentation by staff. Anyone that is curious about Central Park could check out that presentation. So much detail, research went into that. And then many of our historians in town shared videos, information that they had, personal experiences in the park in terms of setting the actual pavers in the 50s.
Really?
So it was a really impressive, just all the things as they all came together between the staff presentation, the comments from boards and commissions as it worked its way through our process. I mean, the whole thing was like the quintessential local policy moving through, right? That it went to the specific boards and commissions, making their recommendations along the way, coming to council, getting citizen input, having that really robust council or staff presentation and mm-hmm. support was really impressive.
Yeah, and this was just the first reading of the...
Yes, it was. We had the public hearing.
Okay.
And we had many comments at the public hearing. And then we did vote unanimously to support the designation of the park.
That's great. This is government at work right here.
I mean,
Concerned citizens an idea about something, and they went through the right processes, and look at what it's become.
Right.
Well done.
Yeah, we think first park in Northfield to receive historic preservation designation.
Yeah, because technically, I guess this was one I got lost on me along the way, is that Bridge Square isn't technically designated as a park because it was a right of way, and so the historical context of it was more about its use at the time and things related to that. There are components within it that still have the historical designation, but I found that interesting too.
Yeah,
that
me too.
I missed that before, but I would echo what the mayor said. When I was sitting back and listening, I was like, this is like the best of Northfield, right? That's part of what makes this town so special, is these people researching and the different opinions along the way. There was civil discourse. There was a little bit of policy discussion that came from the Planning Commission, kind of having some questions and concerns around, does it limit change over time? Was kind of some of the discussion to say, you know, like the playground scheduled to be replaced. Does that mean the playground can't come back? So there was a lot of good discussion about like what's historically significant about the site and the design of it that can allow it to live over time and still have some things that change, but you have to honor really those components that have that historical kind of grounding to it in the park. So I agree. I thought it was just a really good example of really community engagement from grassroots, getting feedback, and as the mayor said, along the way, getting good policy questions and debate. So
that was one of my questions. Like, I know that there's there are plans to rebuild or at least repair the wall that runs around the circle. And would this designation make it more difficult to do that?
Well, Matthias Hewley, our planner who is working on that, will have a much more detailed response if you'd like to do a deeper dive with the Heritage Preservation folks or staff. But at a high level, I would say there would be additional review processes through the Heritage Preservation to look at when there's projects like rehabilitation and in fixing and repairing and things. If it's just a simple repair, it probably can just get done, but if it's a broader one, there would be processes to have to go through to evaluate that history. Might have opportunities to say, oh, could it be enhanced in some ways and that. So there's just an additional process that it goes through to make sure to vet that process. Yeah. So it's not something I could say absolute on, but staff gave some examples of theoreticals of ones that were clearly wouldn't be okay, ones that clearly would, and then kind of the in-between are the ones that would need this analysis to go through.
So this just really gives the HPC a chance to say, well, let's take a look at what you want to do.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that part of it's going to be, is there are times when, you know, the park board and the Heritage Preservation will have to have some collaborative discussions, and if the council's funding improvements, they'll want to know that feedback too as they're preparing. So there's just processes now that will be in place to honor that history.
Okay. The next item on the agenda was consider accepting bids and awarding contract for the 2025 reclamation and overlay project. Was that there much conversation around that?
No, not much at all. I think that the good news is we are about $400,000 under bid. So,
we do get
good news sometimes here on our
pricing. We moved that one through very quickly.
After our most recent experiences with bids, that's a really good thing. That's great.
Yeah, so we get to save some taxpayer dollars on what we were at least projecting previously on that. And so we'll be rolling ahead with some of those projects on the project scope, includes some Laurel Court reclamations. We have Industrial Drive with some pavement improvements, a number of other areas through with that project for our construction coming up. So we're excited about that.
All right. And then, Ben, I know this is something you've talked about for a couple of years at least, but there was a conversation last night about revising the proposed budget calendar.
Yeah, so this is kind of, I would say we, annually, at least since I've been here, we kind of kick off with the schedule of the budget, and then usually with that conversation, the finance director and myself, probably as the lead staff on the budget preparation, often try and say, what have we learned from prior years? What do we want to continue to get mm-hmm. better at? So, because there's always opportunities for improvement. So I talked about some of those. One of them was accelerating some of the process in May, where we're going to be doing kind of lead where we left off in December to kind of do, hey, reminder, here's where we were. We had a two-year budget. This is kind of the second year that we haven't focused a lot on that second year, because we can't legally appropriate dollars sure. after the first year, but wanting to accelerate that and look at the capital improvement plan and equipment plan with some updated numbers on current staffing dollars that we have to kind of give a sense of where we left it off. I think that hopefully will do two things. One is kind of educate the council again on kind of where we left off on the budget, allow the public to hear that, and then maybe some initial feedback mm-hmm. before staff starts, because that's really when we start to ramp up heavily to develop the budgets to come back to the council. So maybe we can have a little more expectations going into that process, how to do that. Also with the public, I think opportunity to add an engagement piece. Mm-hmm. The council's been very interested on some of that. The mayor might want to comment on some of the thoughts that were shared on that, or maybe things to hear of ideas. But before the budget is like feedback really on having some impact on the budget for the public, the earlier the better. So if we can share some of where we left off previously, and then when we come back with the budget development along the way, to find ways early in the process to have opportunities for ideas and feedback on budget challenges, in addition to just informing, which has been probably our heavier focus mm-hmm. in the past for the public. And then those were a couple of things. Getting better at our second year of that budget, and then kind of really firming up our five-year operating plan tied with our capital planning. We kind of call it like a shorter-term financial, kind of five-year financial plan, so that we can get better at predicting and looking how decisions are being impacted over a little longer period versus just kind of one year at a time. So we continue. I would say when we get our bond rating reviews, we get strong financial management practices, but again, there's always ways we can get better. And I think mm-hmm. we've learned some things in recent history that, you know, even if we have hard decisions on cost increases, we really need to get better at sharing how things are being impacted, including for decision makers to understand how decisions today impact multiple years into the future. So those were some incremental things I focused on mm-hmm. on the budget for feedback from the council.
What do you think, Mayor?
I was impressed with the thought that went into the citizen engagement and input process. And Ben's been meeting with Superintendent Hillman about how the school district does mm-hmm. does it. And we would like to do it sooner so that comments that we receive from the public can be incorporated.
Yeah.
As we go through, you never know where the next really good idea is going to come from. So you can start emailing me already about what you'd like the process to look like, or you can already start sending your budget comments, I think, to anyone on the council. We'd be happy to hear that, and we will work. Right now we don't have that formal process set up, but I would open the informal process starting. I think we kicked it off last night.
The preliminary tax levy has to be set September ish, sometime in September, correct?
Basically the end of September.
Have you guys, because it strikes me as, you know, sort of, I don't want to say unofficial policy, but the prudent move for the council when you set the preliminary tax levy is to set it at the highest level allowed by law. And then if you work down from there, whenever you can. Have you guys given any thought, or is there any talk about setting the preliminary levy sooner and telling the letting the community know, and then start taking the input at that point, so you've got more time to work with things?
Yeah, did Logan feed you this information? Because I would say that's part of the point that I was talking to the council about.
No, he didn't, actually.
I would say even though that has been our practice, I think where the ideal situation would be is that in September, when we set that preliminary levy, it's really a serious proposal for this mm-hmm. is our proposed budget, because mm-hmm. then we can roll into getting feedback from the public to say, what do you think of this proposed budget? We can still tinker it down a little bit on the tax levy side of it. Budgets can go up and down a little bit if you have other revenue sources that maybe can fluctuate. But that would be the ultimate goal of where we are. Like, if we're at a fully high-functioning organization related to budget management, that's really where we should be, so that we can then get that feedback. Because typically, if you have it where there's this cushion and you're really making decisions later in the game, people get their tax statements. That causes confusion and frustration if you know already that that number's significantly lower on the numbers that you get in the mail in November, because that's what it's based on. And I think also just getting more predictive, and then we could also focus more on that second year of the budget so that there's more predictability and understanding of the budget. So that's where we want to be. I'm hoping that we can improve to have that more of a realistic number. But if we're making improvements, I think that's the main thing on it.
Yeah.
All right. Then there was a resolution, I believe, presented by Councillor Dolan about considering a resolution ordering a financial model for 20 years for all city projects. I'm a little lost in the details on this.
Yes, that's the perfect response. I think we all got a little lost in the details and many ways to read that resolution and interpret it. So, and that was the consensus, I think, around the dais was it wasn't completely clear what goals Councillor Dolan was trying to achieve with this resolution. So we'll be doing some follow-up conversations. The consensus was let's figure out should some of this be in the strategic planning process as financial goals? Are there parts of this that we do need to see right away that would help inform something for someone's process? So that's where we ended up is we're going to go back to the motion maker and see if we can pull out specific goals and find the place for these requests.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an interesting conversation. I'm still not completely sure I completely understand it, but just a basic model for things without a lot of, you know, absolute dogma within it. But a good framework never sounds like a bad idea, does it?
Right. And yes. And I think we aspire to some of the things in the resolution, but are not at a point to fulfill them at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, I think some of it ties with the budget. It's about, I think, parts of it are like, we want to have transparent information on numbers earlier, kind of over a multi-year period. We want to understand the debt obligations we have over time, the cost impacts of that. So I think working through to understand some of the goals related to the financial management and budgeting processes, I think there might actually be more alignment on the work that's kind of coming ahead of us based on that conversation. But to the mayor's point, I think it's like might need a little more conversation to understand that. But
yeah.
I think generally when I looked at the overall resolution, I think I, even from my standpoint, I share the goals of like, let's get there over time. That's ultimately the where we'd like to be on a lot of the interest on areas of kind of financial management.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there was conversation, although it sounds like it didn't go very far, there was conversation about the 1% for the arts ordinance and possible reduction of that.
I wouldn't say a possible reduction.
Okay.
So that's not how.
Okay.
I wouldn't frame it that way.
Okay.
I would frame this as, and I want to say I appreciate Councillor Beamer bringing this forward. And again, to go back to the goals, I was, you know, Betsy Buckhite and I were on the council together, and Betsy was always really helped me think about how to set good policy and what are your intended outcomes and your goals. And I was listening last night, and I heard the goals are reduce the tax implications on large projects. Mm-hmm. So we've had a couple of really large projects coming at us, which we didn't have that level of project when this policy was developed. I was on the council at the time when it was developed, and so we weren't seeing, you know, $40 to $80 million price tags at that point. And so reducing those tax implications on large projects, while at the same time providing stable, predictable source of funds for the arts. And we have two levers to work with. We have 1% of the projects, capital projects, and we could implement a cap. So the proposal was a reduction in the percentage, but I was actually thinking personally the opposite, that if we increase the percent to say 2%, but implemented a cap, you could then, and so we need some more numbers around what do we need to, because we heard, we also heard this policy is highly valued by the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, and no one said they wanted to do away with the policy. I didn't hear that at all from the dais. So what I think we're going to be able to accomplish is finding that stable, predictable source of funds for the arts. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to talk it through and decide where that is when once the Natalie Draper gets back, the person who manages this fund.
Right.
That's great. And we had a very full agenda. They kicked it to the work session. So had it been a light agenda, maybe we would have gotten deeper into that. But
right.
That's always a balance, too, when we're working through these issues. And sometimes we get sandwiched on a bunch of issues at once because that's how it rolls sometimes. Sometimes you can plan for it, sometimes you can't.
And nothing like filling out the end of a very busy agenda with a very light conversation like the comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
So you guys reviewed the draft and talked about it and what came out of that conversation.
We did. What I appreciated from the presentation was a real high level. There was a slide for each kind of chapter. And that high level, like this is what each chapter is trying to accomplish in the plan. Because I think before it was from someone who's not involved in the process of creating the plan, it was a little challenging. I think the first draft we got didn't even have chapters. It was just a poof. So we've been through the evolution of this. And so I really appreciated the level at which it was presented last night that I think teed it up very nicely for our strategic planning. This weekend, we're going to spend an entire day on Saturday together, working on the first big conversation about our strategic plan for the next 3 to 5 years.
This weekend's the retreat.
Yes.
All right.
I haven't checked the weather, but I'm hoping for snow because I don't want it to be. Maybe if it's nice out, that'll motivate us to really roll up our sleeves and get through it. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you guys want to bring up from yesterday, or just any points you want to talk about at all?
I've had some questions around this strategic planning this weekend, whether it's an open meeting. It absolutely is. Whenever the council gets together to deliberate, it's an open meeting, and you can legally be there, and we welcome the public if they're interested to spend their Saturday with us. Just keep in mind, it's not participatory, so they can observe, listen in. It's in our training room on the second level of the building, because when you're doing strategic planning, you're kind of going through sticky notes and prioritization and things, so it's not real conducive to kind of the council chambers. So that's where we'll be, and again, the public can be there. I would say more importantly, though, there will be a lot of reporting back on what's happening in extra stages, on what the council kind of came out and what the process was. So there'll be a lot of more opportunity for daylighting of that information before it's finalized coming forward. Mm-hmm.
Is this just for the council, or will there be staff involved with this one, too?
We have a small staff team. We kind of call it the senior leadership management team. Of staff that will be alongside the council, and there's some roles for staff and then heavier roles for the council as it relates to this policy direction. We play a more supportive role.
Okay, cool.
Great.
All right, Mayor, anything?
Thank you.
Thank you,
as always, for this opportunity. We appreciate it.
We really appreciate you both coming in and giving us your time. So.